Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Surround yourself with people that are ahead of the game and are doing what you want to be doing. Like Tony Robbins says, proximity goes a very long way.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Ash Patel, and I'm with today's guest, Mehdi Kachani. Mehdi is joining us from Miami Beach, Florida. He is the CEO of JMK Group, which is a vertically integrated company that has a brokerage, contracting, property management, and investment team focused on multifamily syndication. Mehdi's portfolio consists of being a GP on 62 doors. Mehdi, thank you for joining us, and how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Ash.
Awesome, man. Great to have you here. Before we get started, can you give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Sure. So my background, essentially, I'm originally from Morocco. I moved to the U.S. in 99, and I've been here since then. I love real estate. I'm very passionate about it. We founded with my wife the JMK Group Company, which started with a property management business about 10 years ago. And then we added to it the general contracting business, the brokerage, and the investment. And we are also real estate investors. And through our investments, we were able to generate enough rental income to essentially achieve financial freedom. And now we have the opportunity to focus on the business and grow it.
Most people outsource property management, and that's where you started. Why was that?
Honestly, we lived in a building that we thought could be managed better. So we offered the ownership of that building to start doing the management, and they believed in our ability to do so. And that's how it all started. And
then, what was that conversation like?
That's very interesting. Actually, I prepared a PowerPoint presentation, and at the time I was still working. I had the W-2 and I had more of a corporate profile. So what I needed to do is get a PowerPoint presentation together, and I went through what we could deliver for the building, and they loved it. Eventually, it was also a decision based on relationship. They knew us on a day basis, and they said, okay, let's do this.
All right, and they fired their property management company and hired you?
Yes. We were on site. We were living in the property, and that was also a huge, very appealing to them.
What were the challenges you encountered in doing that?
Okay, so the first property, this property that I mentioned, it's a homeowner association. So it's a bunch of condominium in one structure.
A lot of fun meetings.
Yeah, we started with the property, with the HOAs, and then eventually we were focusing exclusively on multifamily apartment buildings now and commercial properties. But the challenges is having too many cooks in the kitchen, people having different agendas, some people not wanting to spend a dime on the building, and others wanting to make the building the next greatest thing without thinking about what they're spending. So reconciling all of that, it was challenging to some degree, and getting people to unite behind a project and a plan. That was, for that specific property, the challenge.
Well, that's interesting. What advice would you give somebody that is dealing with an HOA? How do they navigate the totally different sides of people?
Well, I'm going to be very, very direct on this one. First of all, unless it's your primary residence, I don't recommend buying a condo. But I wanted the building to shape the direction of the building. I would definitely get engaged, be on the board and listen to conversations. You have to be a very good listener and figure out where people stand and then try to find consensus. But in terms of investments, I don't think condominiums are a good asset class. And one of the things that happen when you are part of a condo is you can get hit by a special assessment. You have very little control over the asset.
Well, my question was more if somebody was in your shoes where they were the property manager and had to deal with the condo association, what advice would you give them?
Be a good listener and build relationships.
All right. Try not to have a target on your back, right? All right. So what was your next step after you started managing this property?
So then once we had that one property under management, we went to other buildings and we managed this one property. The board is very happy with us. These are all the great things we've done for the property in terms of managing costs and improving the tenant base and all that good stuff. And then eventually we started attracting more properties under management. And what we quickly realized is that for a property management company, managing HOAs, at least from our experience, hasn't been very profitable and it's high, it's resource intensive. You mentioned the board meetings. When you manage an HOA, there is a lot of bureaucracy in making any type of decisions. Instead of dealing with a group of investors that own the entire building, you're dealing with individual owners of condominiums. So we shifted very quickly our strategy and focused on apartment buildings.
How did you acquire more apartments to manage?
So that's a very good question. We did Google Ads. We were on Yelp, and then we joined an association of property managers. And then word of mouth, people were happy with the work done. A lot of the owners, some of the owners actually in the buildings we managed, owned condominiums in other buildings. So they would tell us, hey, this is another building that I belong to, and I think we could improve our property management. Do you want to take us on? I would like to introduce you to the board. Then we would meet the board and present our services.
What do you see a lot of property managers doing wrong?
I think, first of all, just to put things in perspective, at least from my perspective, having been in the day-to-day of a property manager, it's an extremely challenging job. So your audience, my recommendation is hire third-party property management instead of being involved yourself, because the return on your time is going to be very, very limited. It's resource-intensive business with very, very small margins. But what I think property managers do what they can with the resources that are available to them. I think the way to run properly a property management company is to charge adequately, because a lot of property managers, it's a low barrier to entry type of business. So anybody can do that. And what happens is property managers go offer their services at a very low rate. And as a result, they stretch themselves too thin and have to manage too many buildings at once. Per property manager, the ratio of property managers to buildings is not good. So as a result, they're not delivering the level of service.
Mehdi, in your area, what is the going rate for PMs and what do you charge?
That's a very good question. Are we talking about apartment buildings or
yes,
would you say condominium association?
No, just apartments.
Going rate, we start at 5-6% and up, depending on the size of the building. Obviously, if you have bigger property, economies of scale, then we're willing to negotiate that rate. The minimum we charge is 5-6%.
And that's what you charge?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in line with all your competition.
We're in line.
What makes you better?
What makes us better? Customer service and technology. So customer service, we're boutique property management. So when we take a customer, we are not seeing that customer just as a transaction. We're seen as a partnership. Actually, we have clients that we invest with on their deals, and that's how committed we are. We really want to establish strategic partnerships with the people we take on board. And when customers interview us, we're also interviewing them. We're very selective, and we want to see a fit between our company and the client. Aside from that, technology is essential. Like I mentioned, it's resource intensive. You have to be very, very strategic in terms of how you allocate your resources. And technology helps us build efficiencies and work more effectively and deliver very good service with fewer resources.
What specific technology have you implemented?
Definitely the software you use. The property management software is a big one.
And what do you use?
AppFolio. That's worked out very well for us in terms of maintenance. In-house, we've created a maintenance operation, and that's because we're also a licensed, in the state of Florida, we're a licensed general contractor and plumbing company. So the plumbing maintenance has its own software for dispatching technicians. We also use web-based applications that help us gather data from customers and address their needs. We leverage also JotForm, which is a tool that's worked out very well for us to gather data for specific requests and turn those requests into actionable deliverables.
And you have in-house trade people?
Yes, we do.
Is it just a pain point that you get tired of paying high prices and waiting for them to be free?
It's a mix, but definitely I think the same way property management was a pain point for us. And by the way, I didn't mention it, but we did also own our own properties that we put under management through the company. Aside from that, we also saw it as an opportunity for incremental income. There is a massive demand for home services in general. We do bathroom remodels, kitchen remodels, and all of that is in-house.
All right, so you do that for single-family homeowners.
Single-family homeowners for apartment buildings. We do a lot of commercial.
Interesting, okay.
It's a separate business, by the way. Completely yeah. Separate business. The general contracting business has maintenance operation that we leverage for the property management. Just one quick comment. In Miami, it's specifically, and maybe it's a problem nationwide, but I think it's particularly the case in Miami. If you call a vendor and he shows up, you feel very fortunate. And customers have told us that this is not only from us.
Yeah, it's a common problem now. And also, there's a lot of property managers that just suck. So finding a good one.
Yeah.
So Mehdi, I've only heard of very large property managers investing in people's deals. Explain that dynamic to me. It's nice to see a smaller boutique PM company also investing in people's deals. Are you investing as they're taking them down, or do you get equity later on for managing the property?
No, we invest as they take down. We actually bring in our own cash into the deal and we get an equity. We have preferential rate because of the relationship, but we go in. We find that the deal makes sense. The sponsor has done a good job. We want to show that we have skin in the game. And we also manage the property.
Yeah. And do you also bring in other investors? Do you help them raise capital?
Yeah. So our business, it was the four businesses, the GC, the brokerage, the property management, and the investment. On the investment side, we do two things. We find deals and we raise money. We have raised money for sponsors. We've joined GP groups and brought in all our expertise to the table. And all it right. adds also more credibility to them as they try to pitch their deals.
That's great. I love that model. You're a one-stop shop. You're the partner that we want.
We'll get back to the show with first some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. It's no secret that everyone is trying to find a recession-proof investment right now. What if you could invest in one of the most recession-resilient asset classes of the last 25 years with one of the best teams in the U.S.? Self-storage is that asset class, and Reliant Real Estate Management is that team. Reliant Real Estate Management is the 17th largest storage operator. They have sold over $1 billion in self-storage assets and have lost no investor principal with the average project-level IRR of 33% in the last 3 years. Right now, you can be one of the first to invest in their next fund at ReliantFund4.com. Fund 4 is a $100 million equity fund with 7 properties already identified to close before the end of 2022. If you're an accredited investor, visit ReliantFund4.com to download the investment summary and schedule a call with Reliant's experienced team. That's ReliantFund4.com, ReliantFundFour.com. I'd like to introduce you to my good friends over at PassiveInvesting.com, a private equity real estate firm based out of the Carolinas. PassiveInvesting.com makes it easy for you to start investing in real estate. They focus on acquiring institutional quality apartments and self-storage facilities with private accredited investor funds. They also have a real estate debt fund that offers hard money loans to local fix and flippers across the U.S., which currently has a 0% default rate. With a portfolio of over $700 million in assets and controlling over $250 million in equity, they know how to secure the best deals and how to avoid the red flags. If you are interested in learning more, please reach out directly to PassiveInvesting.com and request the free Passive Investor Guide that outlines the 7 red flags for passive apartment and self-storage investing. Visit PassiveInvesting.com/red flags to download that PDF now. That's PassiveInvesting.com/red flags.
Do you manage commercial buildings as well?
Yes.
And when I say commercial, non-residential commercial?
Yeah, we do retail. We do commercial offices. We do industrial. We're very local, though, primarily Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade County. But in terms of the investments, we do the southeast of the U.S.
And you personally, putting money, would you rather invest in multifamily or non-residential, commercial, industrial?
It's interesting. So far, you know, the 62 units that you mentioned, those are units that we own. Me and my wife were the founders of the company. We're primarily focused on multifamily. That's kind of our area of expertise in terms of investment, but we're looking to diversify into commercial. We haven't gone there yet for investment purposes.
Is it because you see the higher returns in commercial?
Yes. Ash, from my perspective, and you see, it's maybe my self-limiting belief, but I do have the impression that you need to have stronger financial means. Because if you have a vacancy, it can be a heavier weight to carry on a commercial property versus a multifamily. Multifamily, you own a 50-unit building, you lose a few tenants. First of all, there's no vacancy. It's very small now. But the risk is much lower from our perspective.
Yeah, you're right. The risk is lower, but you're capped by your comps, right? You can only do so much in renovations. And at some point, you reach a ceiling on what you could charge for rent. Whereas with commercial, yes, there's the risk of vacancy. But if you buy a center that has a couple of vacancies and you fill them, you've added a massive amount of money to your NOI. And then if you can increase a commercial lease, you don't have to do renovations. Matter of fact, your tenants will often do the renovations for you on their dime.
Absolutely.
So I'm primarily a non-residential commercial investor. So industrial, office, retail, warehouse. And the ability to increase NOI is much greater in those asset classes than it is with multifamily. And also barriers to entry.
Yeah. And cap rates are more attractive than residential.
Yeah. I've interviewed people that have bought in hot markets residential real estate at 2.5 caps. You'll never hear of a commercial deal going for a 2.5 cap. Matter of fact, you can still find 8 cap deals on LoopNet and Crexie.
Yeah. Ash, when you say residential, is it less than 5 units or?
No.
Multifamily, okay.
Like $20 million apartment complexes at 2.5 caps, right? That's
I understand your point. Absolutely. The only thing I would say is when the price of the asset is based on comparables, that's where I think you have no control. If you own a house or building up to 4 units, then you can invest whatever you want into the property. Your price is going to be capped by how much your neighbors have sold the property. But as soon as you go to commercial residential, I mean, multifamily of 5 or more, then you have some form of control. Your net operating income is going to determine the value of your property, assuming the cap rate is constant.
Yes, I agree with you. Now, how do you increase NOI?
Okay, so you run it better, you manage your expenses, or you increase rents. And the rents is determined by the market.
Yeah, and often through renovations, forced appreciation, dog parks, covered parking, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of commercial real estate, and I thank you for having this debate with me, but the beautiful thing about commercial real estate, and again, when I say commercial, the best ever listeners know it's non-residential commercial. You can take a mom and pop convenience store, and if they leave and you sign a Dollar General to a 10-year lease, you've now changed that cap rate. A mom and pop store is going to go 8.5, 9 cap. a Dollar General is trading at 4.5 cap. So just there, if all things are equal, you've dramatically increased the value of the property. And often Dollar Generals are just going to pay more in rent than a typical mom and pop, right? So yeah. You could have potentially added $1 million to the value of the building through that forced depreciation, not only in NOI, but in cap rate as well, right? We're not bound by cap rates due to comps. We aren't based on similar tenants. So national tenants, typically mom and pops trade at a similar cap rate, but increasing from a mom and pop tenant to a regional or to a national tenant dramatically reduces your cap rate. So I encourage you, man, keep diving into that. And you know, you
thank
can start
you for the education session, because honestly, this is inspiring for me to hear.
A lot of people think commercial is too expensive, and almost in any market, I can find you a commercial building. It could be a mixed use building that's priced the same as a single family house, right? I mean, you could find older mixed use buildings that have one retail, couple apartments above. And that's a good way to get your feet wet with commercial real estate, because often those apartments will pay for all of your expenses and the profit comes from the commercial or vice versa. Right. So push yourself, man. Listen, you've built a great company. You've expanded into things that most people probably wouldn't have. So keep going. You're on the right trajectory.
Thank you for inspiring me to go into commercial. I assure you, next time we talk,
find a commercial deal and let's come back and revisit. We'll have another conversation. Hey, this was a great conversation, man. Give us your best real estate investing advice ever.
Okay, so there are many things that come to mind. I think I'm going to do one that's a little bit more generic in the sense that it's helped me personally. You want to surround yourself with people that have achieved what you want to do in the future. For example, hearing what you've done, Ash, on the commercial side, I definitely want to replicate or see how you've been successful. But that would be my advice, just surround yourself with people that are ahead of the game and are doing what you want to be doing. Like Tony Robbins says, proximity goes a very long way.
Incredible advice. And Mehdi, and the last thing that I'll touch on is managing commercial properties. It's still 4 or 5% property management fee. However, you're dealing with professional business owners versus tenants. And often we manage most of our commercial properties ourselves, because once you have your systems in place, there's nothing to do. If there's a plumbing backup, it's usually on the tenant to handle. So a lot of things just fall on the tenants and you don't get a phone call every time a sink is clogged. Absolutely. So awesome, man. Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Let's do it.
All right. Mehdi, what's the best ever book you recently read?
Best ever book I recently read. Vivid Vision, great book. It's the second time I read it. It's a great book about establishing a vision and working towards that.
Mehdi, what's the best ever way you like to give back?
Time. Most recently, we've done launch initiatives in the properties that we own, where we offered the office supplies to the kids who live in our buildings. A lot of our buildings are workforce buildings, so that was a very nice way for us to get involved in the community and give back. And I also brought my own kids to buy the supplies and then distribute them, which was a beautiful experience overall.
That's a great touch. And Mehdi, how can the best ever listeners reach out to you?
They can go on my website, www.jmkpropertyinvestment.com. My email is mehdi@jmkpropertyinvestment.com. And if any of your listener needs help or wants to use our services, I'm all ear.
Mehdi, thank you again for your time today, man. Coming here in 99 from Morocco, through way of Canada, and kind of by accident getting into the property management business just because you thought you could do something better and then building a great business out of it. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Hash, for having me and for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Best ever listeners, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. Share the podcast with someone you think can benefit from it. Also, follow, subscribe, and have a best ever day.